Nightlife. Bite-sized history.
We've heard of bush regeneration, where flora and fauna is brought back to life. But tonight we're talking about an interesting project going on in Port Phillip Bay in Melbourne. It's like bush regeneration, but it's under the water. An attempt to restore the reefs that have suffered from degradation from overfishing for the last 200 years. Historian Anna Clark, you might recall, spoke to us some time back about the history of fishing in Australia. She's back to talk about what she's been up to in Port Phillip Bay. Anna, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks for having me.
This project is a bit like bush regeneration, but underwater. Tell me a bit about what's actually going on.
Yeah, it's a great little project, and it's a shellfish reef restoration project in Port Phillip Bay, which is run by a bit of a, I guess, group of interested angling clubs, such as the Albert Park Angling Club and the Nature Conservancy, which is a large philanthropic organisation, and Fisheries Victoria. And it's basically trying to create some shellfish reefs in Port Phillip Bay, which was really denuded from overfishing, as you said, for the last 200 years. And this is an attempt to rebuild some of that critical fish habitat from those areas.
So is that right? Tell us a bit about what it used to be like. So when before white people arrived, it was actually, I mean, shellfish were quite a common thing, weren't
filled.
They?
It filled the bay. And
really?
There's these amazing accounts from people like Matthew Flinders, who sailed in through the heads of the bay in 1801. And he writes in his journal that as he sort of was going around, along the beach there, the beach was completely strewn by tons and tons of oysters, which had washed up. So in big seas, the oysters from the bay would wash up, and there are giant middens from our local Aboriginal communities as well, sort of testifying to that, the prevalence of those shellfish reefs in the bay.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
So that must have been an immediate resource that people seized upon, was
That's
it?
Right. People would be able to live as a gathering society on the largest of the oceans.
And so when white people saw that, they thought,
you beauty
will get in.
Yeah. Well, curiously, with oysters, they've got a really interesting history in Australia, which belies their kind of quirkiness. But the limestone from their shells was really important in the early days for creating mortar for buildings.
Oh, yeah.
So all around Sydney as well, but around Port Phillip Bay, there were kilns built to burn oyster shells, live oysters and dead oyster shells, to turn into building materials.
I mean, very rapidly, I suppose it was overfished.
Yeah, and it was overfished partly for the building industry, and also there's no refrigeration in, you know, the 1800s.
Mm.
And what's a fish that's going to last a long time? It's shellfish. And they can live for a week or 2 weeks after they've been taken out, so they can be transported for a long time. And all around Australia, oyster saloons popped up in the 19th century, and people went to eat oysters because they could be transported.
Oh, is that where it started?
Yeah.
The oyster bar.
Yeah, that's right.
There was no attempt at that stage to try and grow them, was there?
There were some early attempts because the pressure was so great.
Yeah.
In, you know, very quickly they realised that they were overfishing this resource. And, you know, they came to Australia, they see tons of oysters washed up on the beach, and they think it's limitless.
Yeah.
You know, we can have this forever. But pretty quickly it proves that resources, like other fisheries around Australia, that maybe that natural bounty is a little bit more fragile than people first thought. And so there were restrictions, and one of the first fisheries acts in Australia is actually about regulating oyster fisheries. And they tried to reseed them, but that, you know, fishery science was a really early thing back in those days.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you know, there keeps being this pressure to fish them.
Mm. Yes, because, I mean, really, in estuaries and harbours around the east coast, there are reports when the first settlers arrived that they were abundant, but these days, of course, they're not there at all. The only oysters are there would be farmed oysters.
Yeah, and there are, you know, people say they go down the bottom of Port Phillip Bay and they say it's like a desert.
Yeah.
And compare that to the memory of some fishers I talked to from around, from the Albert Park Fishing Club, for example. They said even in the 1970s they remembered oysters and mussels being washed up onto the beach and people picking them and, you know, sort of and eating them.
What What's going on there? You were there last week. What's
yeah, I had a very interesting day out on the bay last week. I went down as part of this reef restoration project being worked on by the Nature Conservancy and also Fisheries, and we went out to do monitoring because the reefs have been installed. The artificial reefs have been installed in recent years, and so every 6 months a team goes down to measure how they're going and seeing how the mussels and the oysters are coming along. I spent a very chilly morning out on Port Phillip Bay at Clifton Springs, just past near Port Arlington, and it was, you know, classic Melbourne spring weather, blowing an absolute gale, and it was about 10 degrees and the water temperature was about 10 degrees. But the divers went down and pulled up sections of the reef, and then we went back on land and spent the rest of the day measuring mussels and oysters and seeing how they're coming along.
And?
Beautifully. It's amazing to see, you know, really healthy shellfish being regrown. I think.
Is there a possibility that the bay could be brought back, do you think, or not?
Oh, it's such a great question. I was speaking actually with someone from Fisheries today, and he was saying, you know, this is about fish restoration, an ecological project about fish restoration and sort of, you know, rebuilding fish habitat. And can we sort of, as ecological stewards, you know, bring back some of that fish habitat to promote fisheries growth. But the historian in me is also like, can we recreate this kind of scene from the past where you jump down into the water and you just see this kind of incredible biodiversity?
Yeah, well, because there's been a lot of talk about what the landscape, not just fish, not just water and fish, of course, what the landscape was like in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
When white people arrived.
Yeah.
And this idea that it was all just an unregulated wilderness, of course, we know not to be true.
It was definitely used.
That the land was being used,
yeah.
and the land was being farmed. In a way.
If you think about this landscape and the dredging that happened in Port Phillip Bay, it's maybe like thinking about a mined landscape.
But because
it's under the water, there's not the urgency to.
Yeah. It was dredged, of course, you know, to make it useful as a port.
Yeah, that's right. And it still is. Yeah, that's right.
This whole idea of sustainability in fishing took a long, long time to take hold, really, didn't it? One of the things that the early explorers did see was abundance.
Totally.
And, you know, it's taken a very long time for us to realise that it's not limitless.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that really stands out, I think, in those explorers' journals and those early colonial journals is this staggering abundance of fish leaping out of the water and giant Murray cod sort of jumping on people's lines. You know, the Murray cod fishery, the commercial fishery, they closed it because too much was taken, you know, and similarly with other fisheries as well, bluefin tuna. The government promoted the expansion of fisheries and really they didn't know about the extent of fish stocks and the science of the way fish, you know, fish numbers and how they reproduce and so on. It's something that's catching up.
Yeah, shellfish in particular, I suppose, because they're when they're present, they're kind of easily harvested. That's the thing, isn't it? You scoop them up.
Yeah, there's not a lot of running away from oysters.
No, exactly. Our oysters said the carpenter, you've had a pleasant run, but we've now eaten you, everyone. So to that extent, I suppose, is it a fantasy, really, that the Port Phillip Bay would ever come back as a shellfish sanctuary the way it was?
I think it's, I mean, I don't know enough about the extent of how big the project can be. I think they're hoping to regenerate about 500 hectares along the whole coast of Victoria. So I think the aims are very high. But as you said, Port Phillip Bay is used by massive tanker ships and all sorts of, you know, everyone's got a patch of the bay. But at the same time, even if these pockets can be restored, I think it's such an important kind of message of what we can do and the sort of relationship that we have not only to the environment around us but also how we think about the past and our interaction with that environment over time.
Mm. The local restaurants, understand, they all donated their oyster shells.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Oysters and mussels, they were...
They're put back in the water?
Large beds of limestone were put in. Mm-hmm. So limestone was excavated and put on the spot. So a lot of research was done to find out where these reefs were, so to find some good promising places to restore them. Limestone and then beds of shellfish, basically, to create a nice place for the spat to the small baby oysters and mussels to attach and find a nice habitat to grow.
One of the divers was telling you about a cloud of baby snapper he saw.
Yeah, he was quite moved by that. Mm. He dived down a couple of weeks ago and took his little GoPro and filmed. And he said, I never would have thought, that I'd see that so soon. So clearly it is creating that habitat that people in fisheries are eager to.
Historically, did people have an ecological sense of what they were looking at, or was it just seen as a resource? But did people think, we shouldn't dump stuff in here in the early days or not?
I think there's probably a bit of both. There's a sense of the limitlessness of it. Mm. But at the same time, really early on, questions are being raised by people, by fishers, realizing that they're having to go further and further out to move to different bays to gather and fish. And it's a limited resource in a growing population. There's bound to be conflict over that.
Mm. Yes, exactly. All right. Anyway, interesting project. Anna, good to talk.
Thanks, Phil. Nice to be here.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.